more than wine, the upright love thee. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. We read the word of God that far this morning. Again, our text is found in verses 5 through 11. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, at the occasion of our partaking of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, our intention has been to consider some passages out of the book of Song of Solomon. You recall that in this book there's an ongoing conversation between the husband, Solomon, and his beloved wife, who's referred to as the Shulamite. First, the one will speak, and then the other will respond as they go back and forth, speaking of their love and their commitment one to another. And you have that here in our text. In verses 5 through 7, you have the Shulamite wife speaking, and then in verses 8 through 11, you have Solomon, the husband, responding. There have been some who interpret our text as describing the very first moment that these two met. Before they're married, Solomon, they say, was out checking on the flocks of his father David, and he happens to meet this country girl, the Shulamite. And immediately there's an attraction one toward another that finally will lead to their being married. That's not the proper way to understand this. The language that's used already at the beginning is sexual language as they speak to one another of their love, which belongs to their marriage relationship. And the way to understand this then is that they are married, perhaps have just been married, and having been married are describing the love that they have for one another and their desire to be together. And while there's much that we can and we ought to learn from Song of Solomon about our earthly marriages, how we're to treat one another as husbands and wives, the main thing that we're to learn here is about the relationship between Jesus Christ and His church, the greatest love story, the love of Jesus Christ for His bride. What the text teaches us is the fact that in ourselves we're undeserving of the love of Jesus Christ. There's nothing naturally attractive about us. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in His grace and mercy, has drawn us to Himself. He's loved us with an everlasting love, and by His work of salvation, He makes us spiritually beautiful. And he assures us of that fact, that we're loved by him and that he considers us to be precious and delightful. But something that is declared to us in the preaching of the gospel Sunday after Sunday, and that's also the purpose in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The purpose of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is to strengthen us and to confirm us in the confidence of faith that we personally belong to Jesus Christ and are loved by him. Consider the Word of God this morning under the theme, Black but Beautiful. First, let's consider acknowledging our blackness, then secondly, assured of our beauty. In this exchange between Solomon and his wife, the Shulamite wife describes herself as black. Verse 5, I am black. Verse 6, look not upon me because I am black. And she describes that further in verse 5 by saying she's as the tents of Kedar. The people of Kedar were descendants of Ishmael, who lived in the northern part of the Arabian desert, and as nomads were known for living in tents made out of a black goat's hair. So she's saying, I'm like that. I'm black, like the black tents of the people of Kedar. She's not speaking racially here. She's not talking about the fact that she might belong to a certain race of people, but she's describing her skin as that's been darkened by exposure to the sun. Verse 6, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. Her skin is tanned, darkened by long exposure to the sun. The reason for that is given in verse 6, where it says, my mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. This young woman belonged to a family of farmers, especially those who were involved in vineyards and the raising of grapes. And she's saying that she had some older brothers who were angry with her, and in their selfishness made her do all of the work in the care of these vineyards. Elsewhere in Scripture, in Isaiah chapter 5, the work is described. It's not merely the tending to and the picking of the grapes, but it was strenuous labor from day to day in the field to remove any of the heavy rocks that would get in the way, to build buildings and fences that were necessary for the care of the farm. Not only the picking, but the crushing of the grapes and the making of the wine. It was strenuous physical labor. She says there at the end of verse 6, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. She's been so busy caring for the family farm, the family vineyard, that she says, I've not been able to care for my own appearance. That's the sense of what she's saying there. I've not been able to take care of my hair, the care of my skin. I've been busy laboring under the hot sun day after day. Now, according to today's standards, a woman often considers beauty to be not skin that's pale and white, but skin that's darkened, that's tanned. That's different than in Bible times here. In Bible times, it was not a mark of beauty to have darkened, tanned skin. Rather, it was a mark of beauty to have very pale, white skin. And the sense was, it was a woman of wealth, a woman of means, who didn't have to go out into the hot sun and work and slave day after day, and her skin then being darkened, but a woman of means could live inside and live under the shade, and because of that, her skin would be pale and white. And the woman here then, by describing herself as having darkened, tan skin, is speaking of her unworthiness. She feels a sense of embarrassment even about this. She says to her friends, the daughters of Jerusalem, in verse 6, "Look not upon me because I am black. Don't look at me as I am, naturally unattractive with skin that's darkened by long labor under the sun." Amongst all of these fair ladies of Jerusalem, wealthy ladies who can live all days indoors, who have pale white skin, "Don't look upon me because I'm black and unattractive." She does not consider herself worthy of the love of Solomon. Solomon could have chosen all of the beautifully pale daughters of Jerusalem, but amongst all of them, he set his love upon me, this undeserving, poor farm girl. And while there's perhaps a way that that could be taken wrongly into a marriage today, there is a certain place of feeling ourselves undeserving of the love of our spouse. That we're so grateful for the love of a godly spouse that in a certain sense we feel ourselves undeserving of that which only stirs us up to greater gratitude and which serves to protect our marriages from unfaithfulness. It's this knowledge of herself that she's undeserving that leads her to desire communion and closeness with her husband. She knows that he will affirm her. And that's why she says in verse 7, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon." He's left the palace, he's gone to inspect the flocks, and she expects him to be gone all day. But she can't wait for him to come home at night. At noontime, she goes out to be with him. Because it's noon and the hottest part of the day, she knows that the shepherds and the sheep will be resting. They're not going to be wandering about. And she knows that this is an opportunity for her to go and seek out her husband, to be with him, to spend time with him, to commune with him. She can't stand to be apart from him. That's the case because she loves him. "O thou whom my soul loveth." Knowing how undeserving she is, she loves her husband for his love for her. And in love for him, she wants to be with him. That love is pure and exclusive. She loves him and only him. And that's indicated by what she says at the end of verse 7. "For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" And the words "turn aside" literally are to be a person who puts on a veil. Why should I be as one who puts on a veil by the flocks of your companions? And what she's referring to there is a harlot, a prostitute. In those days, a harlot or a prostitute would cover up their immodesty with a veil, but then would wander around amongst the tents of these men. And what she is saying here is, "Solomon, tell me exactly where you're going to be. I don't want to be wandering around amongst the tents of the shepherds and for anyone to think that I'm an unfaithful wife, that I'm like a harlot that's wandering around amongst the tents of these men. I want to know where you are so that I can be with you. The thought of anyone considering me to be unfaithful, loving someone else, is utterly abhorrent." She She loves him. She wants to be with him, knowing that he considers her to be beautiful. While there's always things that we can take from this with respect to our own marriages, but especially we need to see this morning is how this teaches us the truth of the gospel. The Shulamite wife here is symbolic of the Church of Jesus Christ. And as the wife describes her undeservedness of the love of her husband, that's the church, that's you and I confessing how we are undeserving of the love of Jesus Christ. Blackness in the scriptures is often used as a description of sin. God is light. Jesus Christ is light. What's opposed to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ? Sin is blackness, darkness, the absence of light. And this is who we are by nature. We were conceived and brought forth into this world with a sinful, totally depraved nature that's black. And even as those who've been regenerated and born again, we still carry this sinful nature with us, which is the source of all of the black filth of our sinful thoughts and sinful words and sinful actions. And it ought to be so impressed upon our hearts and souls that on account of the blackness of our sins, we are wholly undeserving of the love of Jesus Christ. There's nothing naturally attractive about us that would make us stand out from any other as being beautiful and as worthy of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that makes us stand out naturally. There's nothing that makes us worthy and deserving of the love of Jesus Christ. And as we come to the table of the Lord Jesus this morning, having examined ourselves in this past week, that's what we confess. We do not confess that we come to this supper in our own worthiness and deserving of that in ourselves, but our confession is, I'm a sinner. That's been impressed upon me again in this past week, and on account of the blackness of my sins, I'm undeserving of the love of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of our sins, as that's impressed upon us by the Holy Spirit, drives us in faith to Jesus Christ as our only hope and confidence. The desire on the part of the wife here to be with her husband, to commune with him, is the holy desire of the Church of Jesus Christ to be with her Savior, knowing that in him we are loved and considered to be beautiful. Now, this desire of the Church of Jesus Christ and what the text is describing is not the desire of one unsaved, desiring to be saved. That, of course, is impossible. What the text is describing is the church who's been married to Jesus Christ, who has been brought into fellowship with him, desiring more and more to dwell closely with the Savior. It's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the hearts of his people. That knowing communion and fellowship with Jesus Christ, knowing that we're married to him in an unbreakable union and know the love of Jesus Christ. He works within us a holy desire to commune with him, to be near to him. What that is an expression of our love for Jesus Christ. loved by Him. Our response is the response of love for Jesus Christ. And in love for Jesus Christ, there's nothing more precious than to dwell closely with our Savior. It's that leads us to the house of God every Sunday to hear Christ speak to us in the gospel. It's that brings us to the table of the Lord Jesus this morning. Confessing my undeservedness in faith, looking to and resting and relying upon Jesus Christ alone. Knowing and believing that Jesus Christ loves us and considers us to be precious and delightful. The Lord Jesus assures us that we truly are precious and beautiful to Him. Solomon responds to the words of his wife here in verses 8 through 11. He says in verse 8, "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents." He's directing her to himself. If you want to know where I am, follow the footsteps of the flock. And when you follow the footsteps of the flock, you'll find me, the shepherd king. Solomon is not annoyed by his wife. He doesn't view her as being too clingy, too emotional. He doesn't live at a distance and independent from her, thinking that I can't be bothered by you. I'm busy in the midst of my work. What are you doing coming here at noontime? He delights in the fellowship and the communion of his wife. He delights to have her with him. And he assures her that in spite of who she may consider herself to be naturally, unattractive, with skin that's been darkened by long labor under the sun, this is how he views her. He views her as most beautiful. In describing her beauty, he says in verse 8, "O thou fairest among women," you're not just a beauty amongst many other beautiful women, but you are the most